When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete, bitch.
Ice tea is
Pete
still
bitch
in the house.
Is the baseball star Pete Bitch.
Pete
and he's
bitch.
Everyone's bitch, including Ken's.
It would be excellent to have the surname Bitch.
Pete Bitch.
But if you I don't know what country you'd have that in. Maybe, I don't know, Benelux or somewhere. You know, I'm part of the, you know, the bitches. But being able to say, what's your name? And just go, Mark Bitch, like that. And you do it like that because you know people would go, how dare you? And you'd go, no, look at my business card.
Yeah.
And they go, why do you have those printed?
Why
just so that joke would work.
You've written two bitches there. It's Pete Bitch, Bitch, Bitch.
So you're a gardener. Why have you got business cards?
About the Big Boss Man, you know my, I think on the first WrestleMe ever, obviously we are coming in after the first match, which was, let me just scroll up, what do we have?
Godfather and D'Lo Brown.
That's
versus
it.
Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan.
Bull Buchanan, yes. Big Boss Man, on the first WrestleMe I mentioned my favourite bit of wrestling was Big Boss Man's father dies. This is going to be referenced that you hear a lot because I'm
Big Show's father.
Sorry, Big Show's father dies, and Big Boss Man in grabs his father's coffin and drags it through the streets with Big Show on the back of it crying. I didn't realise that the feud also included a segment in which the Boss Man invaded the home of Big Show's mother and forced her on camera to admit that their son was an illegitimate child.
It just gets worse. You know what? I've not seen that.
It just gets worse.
I say I've not seen that, but the time this goes out, I will have seen it, because as soon as you've finished here, I'm going to go and watch it. I was thinking today, is it possible to watch all recorded wrestling so far in a lifetime?
Probably not, to be honest. I mean, yeah, well...
I watched so much wrestling between the years of about 2001 and 2009, say.
Yeah.
And I just always have a tape on in the background when I was working. I'd always... There seemed like a lot to catch up on.
Mm.
And I did... But this is pre-network as well, so I was working damn hard to... And then you start going, oh, I could watch all of the Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
And I could watch it year by year. and I think, I don't know. I don't know what seeing a lot of wrestling is. I have a feeling I might have seen more wrestling than anyone I've ever met.
Well, I guess the wrestling, most wrestling fans would have a 9-to-5 job, I suppose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You, as a writer, probably don't.
I wouldn't say I'm a writer so much as a watcher of old tape-traded videos.
Half writing, half watching. So, yes, we're back with WrestleMania 16. We don't call it that. We call it WrestleMania 2000 for some bloody reason.
Mm.
And everything's green and everything's futuristic.
It's not futuristic, really. That opening match is absolutely the wrong decision to kick off what should be a great big fun celebration almost of the year. It's almost like the season comes to an end with WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And the next day, you start the next year and the next build up to next year. So what's the point in doing it where you go, you didn't get the result you wanted? You know, it's all right to surprise people, but in the opener, let the fucking pimps go over. The Ho Train is just a move that the Godfather does where he goes, everybody get on board, and the audience go, the Ho Train. And then he just runs into someone,
right?
And some of the moves in this period are very over for what they are. Scotty Two Hotties Worm he does later as well.
Yes.
Where he does a sort of, you know,
it's a caterpillar.
That's
yeah.
the one that, it confused me as well because they call it the worm.
Oh yes, so it's the worm. Yes, sorry, it's called, it is the worm. Yeah,
got you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
He does that, and that's hugely over. And even the People's Elbow, that's by The Rock. That is a stupid move. I mean, it's just an elbow, but it's seen as being be devastating.
Well, it's the last thing that happens in this WrestleMania, and it's on a woman's tit.
It is. Yes. We'll get to that bit. That's actually one of the only bits where this absolutely ice cold crowd really are excited.
Yeah,
is when they think a woman is going to be punched by a man over the moon. Talking of that,
crowd.
This is how we actually kick off this next part of WrestleMania, which is Triple H and Stephanie are having a chat on a sofa, and it just looks, it's weird. It's sort of, it looks like the start of a porno.
Yes.
That's 30 seconds before it then dissolves into a blowjob shot.
we'll come into this, but the whole when they move into, they talk about, I can't remember what they called it last WrestleMania, but there is a bit in this filming where it cuts to a 3-minute montage of the meeting. You know, like when you get people to a fan meetup, basically.
Oh, yes.
Where you get to meet. I forget what they call it.
They call it Access now.
Yes.
Yeah.
WrestleMania Access. So the WrestleMania Access video comes out. And if you showed me a clip of the Adult Video News Awards from the same year, the AVN Awards, it looks exactly the same.
They hold
women
it,
with too much makeup, with their boobs hanging out, signing signing fat people's
bits of blokes
clothing.
With ungrown moustaches and very prominent front teeth. And it's just in a warehouse, isn't it?
Yes.
And the lighting's bad. And
I would have a hard time figuring out which was the AVN Awards for 2000 and the WrestleMania Access for 2000.
I'm going to do. Are we gonna, is it going to be this episode? Let me see. It'll probably be next episode. I will be reading some proper pornography.
Yay!
You're going to have to stick around for that.
Lovely old job.
I mean, it will make you sick to your stomach. We then cut to the hardcore 15-man schmoz. I don't quite know how to describe what that is.
People are just appearing.
It starts with the referee, Tim White. He explains how it all works to a very bored canteen of the men taking part. Bradshaw also smoking a cigar inside. Oh, different times.
Different times. And also, like, that referee looks very interesting. He's got a very interesting look.
He is. Very good friend of... He was essentially Andre the Giant's handler in the late 90s. So he'd make sure, you know, he helped him through customs. Because, like...
Getting for
like
the X-ray machine.
Like he's in a bloody sort of, like, massive, like, cat box.
Hold him off. He'd be going in with the ski equipment.
I think Tim White's job was to basically... Andre would go, "Boss, I'm in pain." And Tim White would go, "Well, nothing we can do about it." But I really
another
like this
bit. Another box of wine, Dre.
Like this bit because he's not great at explaining it, and he looks anxious and he looks nervous to be on TV, and I guess a bit of something real. He also then goes on to have a fucking nightmare in this match, and
it's probably
the worst moment of his career. The planned finish for this match, it's 15 minutes long. Everybody fights, there's loads of pinfalls, but whoever is gets the 15 minutes with the belt leaves as the champion.
So the belt changes hands all the time. They go backstage, they fight there, they come back again.
Yeah, and Crash Holly has basically had a good run at this. They called him at this point the Houdini of hardcore.
Right.
There was a 24/7 rule, so they'd have lots of vignettes where he'd be just sort of walking through. I think there's one that's like on a kid's ball sort of like playground thing.
Right.
And he's just there, and someone rushes at him, and he, you know, they try and pin him, and he races away. So it was this big sort of 24/7 rule.
Okay.
So the hardcore championship was just this big fun weapons sort of. You know, not taken very seriously, but it was a good sort of mid-card filler. You have the 15 minutes here, and what was supposed to happen is right at the end, Crash Holly, even though it had gone around all different people, would pin Taz to regain the championship.
Yeah.
And as Taz was choking him out and the clock was going down, Hardcore Holly was supposed to come in, smash a jar of sweets over Taz's head, and then he'd pin Crash, but the timing would be so perfect, the referee would count 1, 2, and then the 15 minutes would be up.
Yes.
And basically, there was a guy backstage counting Tim White, the referee, down so that he knew when to hit the 1 and then the 2.
Yeah.
All done. And the bloke fucked it.
Yeah.
So he went in too early. So Tim White goes 1, 2.
And he had to count him out.
He had to count him, and then there's another beat, another thing, and then the siren goes off. So he has to... It's a real disaster.
Yeah.
It's also one of those things where we talk about, like, Jim Ross being one of the great sort of, play-by-play commentators of all time. And he is. At this point, he clearly knows what the result of this match is supposed to be.
Yes.
And so he decides to try and argue it on television, even though what you're watching is not what he's talking about. So what happens is, it goes down, Hardcore Holly gets the belt, Crash runs off. Tim White, the referee, looks distraught. The crowd sort of just go quiet. It's a funny end because he didn't count the three.
Yeah.
Fink goes, "You're winner." There's a pause. Hardcore Holly starts looking a bit confused. And Fink makes the call and just goes, "Hardcore Holly." Crash is already walking off with the belt, so he's annoyed.
Yeah.
And Jim Ross, Jim Ross has a thing just going, "Oh, controversy here. Okay." They do a replay and he goes, "Oh, he got his shoulder up at two," when you can see he didn't. There's nothing. And it's just go with the flow, guys. Come on. This is just a fucking hardcore match. Don't worry about it.
And also, like, I guess the first time he saw it, he wouldn't be able to see from his vantage point what he's supposed to be looking at.
No.
Sort of thing. And I guess he knew the way it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
But then on the second, on the replay, where he's talking us through the replay, he's like,
And this is just like.
So that's the first time he's seeing it.
This is basically, as well, the other thing about this is the culmination of a match where as soon as Taz does the first pin in it, Jerry Lawler goes, What? This is over then. And Jim Ross goes, no, it continues. And Lawler goes, right. And then there's another pin and Lawler just goes, what the heck? Right? So nobody's been listening.
Stop mugging off the rules.
This is the only match in history where a referee opens it by explaining what happens and nobody listens. Nobody has followed what's going on.
They don't look like that. Any of the wrestlers are looking, in any way interesting. Taker's in there. I watched a video clip of him at the Royal Rumble taking a horrible face plant.
Oh, yes.
He gets flipped out the ring and he takes it full on
the face. It's like a proper flapjack onto the floor, isn't it?
I'm surprised he got up from that, to be honest.
He was in a tag team at this point with Funaki and they were called Kai and Tai. Right. And Kai and Tai, one of those things where you hear that word, you know, when you watched wrestling. Mm. Oh, here they are, it's Kai and Tai, and you'd see it all the time. And I thought, what is Kai and Tai?
Yeah.
Kai and Tai
sounds
was...
like a man with a really heavy accent. Trying to use the word clientele.
Kai and Tai is Japanese for Naval Auxiliary Force, which was Japan's first modern corporation. They were a naval institution and paramilitary organisation dedicated to freeing Japan from feudal rule and protecting the country's national sovereignty. They were a major player in the introduction of the Meiji Restoration.
Okay.
They came from Japan with this faction, which had been named by a guy called Dick Togo, Kai and Tai. And obviously no one had said, what does it actually mean? And basically what it means is English Defence League. It's the Black Shirts. We're the Black Shirts. Good tag team name, that, people.
The Black Shirts. Well, yeah.
These days. Mm. These days. Oh, everyone would be cheering them, wouldn't they? Bloody hell. Viscera is there.
Oh, Viscera is wonderful.
He looks like a massive bin bag that's come to life in like a kid's animation about rubbish attacking you.
No, he looks like a man who is down on his luck, a big fat man who has watched The Matrix. Neo. I'm going to dress like Neo.
Or like a Japanese corporate mascot for a company that deals in oil slicks. In furious oil.
Just black leather everywhere.
The Mean Street Posse. Who we saw last WrestleMania, legitimate childhood friends of Shane McMahon.
Okay.
Pete Gass is another term for steroids. So
right,
that's obviously an inside joke. No, his real name is Pete Gasparino.
Oh.
And Rodney. The worst single-named wrestler ever. This guy called Rodney. It is his real name. He is called Rodney. And I was thinking, I'll probably say to Pete, like something along the lines of, that would be like having a wrestler just called Peter, which is funny. But then there is a wrestler called Peter? Well, that lovely exotic dancer who's also part rabbit in New Japan.
Oh, yes. That's her, isn't it?
That's Peter.
She looks like a version of Ariana Grande. I would feel okay with saying that I find attractive.
Yes, she looks very much like if you had some kind of software that would age and sex up Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Peter is really, hey, ladies and gentlemen, well worth a Google image search. She is remarkable. She's been doing it for a long time and she's absolutely unique looking.
What is Hulkamania?
Well, Hulkamania is the newest thing, Johnny. It's the thing that is sweeping the country. I'm sure some of these guys over here might know about it.
Pete Gass bleeds very deep in this. He won't stop bleeding.
You've got to watch Pete Gass in this because everyone in it is sort of being silly and they're getting hit with cookie things and going, whoa! And Pete Gass, every time you see him, and you never really focus on him.
He's fighting for his life.
He looks like he's been shot out of a building and he's gone through the window and he's trying to get up all the time. It is... It's the one bit in WrestleMania where I go, actually, is he all right? Everything else is fun, but every time you see him, it's just like a drowning man trying to get to the surface. Really frightening. The headbangers are there. Headbanger Mosh with the large pink sort of furry breasts.
Yes. And yeah, why is that?
Do you know what? They started as this sort of like, they were sort of wearing lumberjack shirts and sort of skirts and stuff. And they were supposed to be, in the same way that the people in the WWE who don't really understand young black culture, they didn't really understand young non- sort of just alternative culture.
Yes.
So they've got a slight thing of, oh, they're like Marilyn Manson.
Right.
Although if either of them were at a Marilyn Manson gig, they would stick out like fucking sore thumbs. Thrasher I like more because he's wearing a sort of cobwebby dress and he's done something like blue on his face. And I looked at him and I thought, that's nothing. I don't know what it is. And he's done his own thing. And it's not quite emo. It's not quite Marilyn Manson. It's just sort of odd. And I was thinking, that's brilliant. Turn up WrestleMania and they go, so what is this sort of supposed to be? I don't know.
There's a lot of that in this show, to be fair.
Taz is one of the big sort of players in this match. He's one of the focused sort of featured guys. Mm. Taz had been a huge star in ECW, which by this point is pretty much wound up.
Yeah.
Taz has come over within the last year. His first match, he submits the previously undefeated Kurt Angle, probably a year ago from here. Taz was one of those guys who, he's just larger than life, a little sort of orange plug, like a sort of like really furious sort of Oompa Loompa foreman. And he in ECW was just portrayed as being an unbeatable shoot fighting killer.
Right.
When he came to WWE, everyone suddenly noticed he was about 5'7". he is so good in the ring, and he's good in this, but they suddenly lost interest in him really after a year. He could have been a much bigger deal. I did notice that in 1998 there's a funny legal thing which has never quite been cleared up. So someone who has been over the years believed to have been Taz was arrested after a 15-year-old girl accused him of asking her to show him his breasts. One of those wrong. He was arrested after she said he had asked her to show him her breasts.
Yeah, her.
The reason it's never been solved is it's still in court because they've had to read that sentence out twice. And then she said that the person then exposed themselves to her.
Right.
The weird thing is nobody has ever been able to really sure whether this is
the Taz
the wrestler.
Right.
So there's never been people have not been able to find what actually happened, whether the case was closed. It was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at a tanning salon. Someone said that the man had said his real name, or the name when he gave when he was arrested, was Taz Jones. Other people have said no, it is Taz and he was charged under his real name.
Right.
So something there for you to Google at home.
Well, I'll Google it now. I've got New Jack shoots on Taz getting arrested.
I wonder if New Jack will bring a nuanced balance to this quite complex legal issue.
Oh, good God. New Jack's forehead. Oh. It's like, you know, in Fight Club where they steal all of the fat out of the women's legs to mix up. It's like that kind of texture. It's horrible.
It's almost like if you went in the bath for 4 days and then you came out and looked at your finger and you just sort of made it go, I'm going to fucking kill you. You've made your own New Jack finger. One thing I did see, which I really liked, and it was sort of off the back of just Googling arrested wrestlers, there's only ever been one wrestler who was legitimately arrested on television, and that was a guy who worked for Jerry Lawler's USWA.
Yeah.
He was called Billy Joe Travis.
Right.
He was at one point a really sort of good like heat grabber, but he never had a mainstream career. He died relatively young at 40, but he was, I think it was in about 1997, he was wrestling on Jerry Lawler's show, and it was being filmed for their Memphis television.
Right.
And he had outstanding child support payments. So his ex-wife knew he was
going to be there at a certain time.
So she told the police, and they actually went down onto the set while it was being recorded, while he was in the ring, and they arrested him. And Jerry Lawler, because wrestling is classy, he actually edited the footage so that he could sort of go, oh, his opponent has had him arrested and all this, to try and make an angle out of it as well. But it remains the only legitimate arrest of a wrestler on television.
I'm having that. I think that's a wonderful turn of events. Oh, he's been arrested for what? Well, not paying his alimony.
Yes, yeah.
Not paying his child support.
Yeah, that's I think the only time it's ever happened. I would love to be wrong.
Fantastic.
Please do tell me. Mm. This Battle Royale has also got Farouk and Bradshaw in.
Yes.
And Bradshaw is very chunky in this.
Hey.
Jim Ross says they like to fight more than they like to eat. Well, they like to fight a fucking lot, don't they?
Always fighting.
Yeah.
Didn't fight very hard with the food gum in your mouth.
What's really funny about this is Jim Ross at this point is head of talent relations. Mm. So a lot of what Jim Ross says is slightly loaded.
Yes.
So okay. If you've got a match and Jim Ross goes, well, I mean, these two teams just did not gel. Basically saying is, I'll save you the effort. You watch this in your hotel room and then you'll know when I speak to you tomorrow, I'll be saying, what went on there? He has a big thing about sort of saying, oh, this match is bowling shoe ugly. And that's his code for just going, this is fucking pitiful.
Yeah.
All those sorts
letters
of things.
Letters will be written.
But he does that here, I think, with Bradshaw, where he's going, you know, yep, they like to fight more than they like to eat. I think he's throwing out his little things as a talent manager, just going, you are looking a little bit porky. it's weird. Once you sort of lock into it,
look at the cord a little
you
bit,
hear him doing it all the time.
Yeah, and you realise that he's very much part of...
All the time. And then you get the hardcore champion, of course, who should have won this and who it all collapses, Crash Holly. Crash Holly was one of those guys, small and just so packed full of charisma. Mm. Really, really good. They called him the Houdini of hardcore here because he was always getting out of the scrapes, but he was really super over. People really liked him. He'd had a very, very brief career before the WWE. He'd had a couple of sort of matches in ECW, but nothing major. He had a tryout with WWE with Vic Grimes, who we talked about in one of the WrestleMas episodes.
That's right.
He was the guy who New Jack tried to kill on the scaffold.
Yes.
Possibly, unless New Jack is a very proficient actor. The jury is out. The juries are rarely out with New Jack. The jury normally just go, we don't need to. We don't need to leave. We can rule on this
very
now.
Very little deliberation.
But Crash Holly, he had a good WWE career of a few years. Mm. He went to TNA, but he's very sadly committed suicide.
Right.
He took a prescription drug and in the house of fellow wrestler Stevie Richards. And this was in 2003. I think that morning he'd received divorce papers from his wife.
Right.
And it had all got a bit, obviously, just terrible. Poor Crash Holly.
Yep.
He seemed like such a nice guy. And one of those guys as well, I think, would have been a really good nostalgia act. He would have come back. Mm. And I think, you know, it's worth watching some of his matches. He's one of those guys nobody talks about.
Mm.
Nobody ever sort of goes, oh, do you know who was good? Crash Holly. It's really worth seeing him because when he was at his best, he was really, really good.
Yeah.
One of those guys, again, watching these old WrestleManias, even when you've watched a lot of stuff like me, you forget about these people.
Yeah.
And there are some of those little careers that are probably worth celebrating more. WWE are always going to find it difficult to celebrate someone like Crash Holly because of the nature of the way he died.
Right.
It's always one of those things that they don't like wrestlers who have died. I mean, in the case of Crash Holly, not on their watch, but certainly it talks of, you know...
McLeod.
It talks of a work environment that isn't necessarily conducive to good mental health.
Yes.
You know?
Certainly not relationships at the best of the times.
No. He actually met his wife when she was escorting Mark Henry to the ring in a 1999 pay-per-view.
Oh, wow.
As well. So it's wrestling gave him his wife. It didn't take anything away, I hope. I hope it wasn't wrestling.
Well,
poor
you know,
Crash.
If you can look like a big guy next to Mark Henry.
Yeah.
If you can impress
that
a
is
woman
amazing, actually,
with,
your, isn't it?
With how much of a specimen you are next to Mark Henry, you'd be like, oh, I've had it.
Yeah. Oh. And then they have the awful bit where, you know, JR is just saying, he got a shoulder up.
Yeah.
And you're watching on television and you can see he didn't. I mean, it's just, it's so sort of blatant to try and lie at people. Then we get the little access bit.
Yes.
Which I love.
There's so much in there. And like, the Y2J, what's the peep shot? Was that a thing on Raw or something?
I don't think so.
I think they just put a woman in the thing and said,
and they've got sort of like a cane like racing car. Yes. And there's loads of customised motorbikes.
Yes.
What do I see this fucking shit for? But they did have one of those things, I think, that was like you put your hand in the Andre the Giant.
Yeah, to sort of show how big his hands were.
I've been to like some of these access things. So I went to one before WrestleMania 25.
Yes.
And for me, it's like perfect. Mm. And they've just got cases of old title belts and stuff. And I could really sort of go, oh my God, I remember that. I remember Demolition brought those out, those sort of key moments. But I really wanted there to be the old stand next to Andre the Giant cutout, the real life size. They had some of his his boots. But when I see this thing, I sort of go, what do they do with all these? Where's the Andre Hand thing? I want the Andre Hand thing.
They would have been damaged in some kind of aircraft fire.
Fuck breaking into the ITV archives. We've got to break into Stamford, Connecticut to take all that shit out. All these one of a kinds that as soon as we get out, we'll be immediately arrested. Wonderful.
I forgot how much of a Valley Girl accent China has. Oh my God. Yes. I'm having a great time here.
She is good in this. She's actually, you can see how she's changed. She's had surgery.
Yes. She's had completely different.
Chin and jaw reconstruction and things.
Well, that was kind of the disappointing thing when she actually came out to wrestle, and I'm sure we'll get onto it. Like, I felt that,
she'd feminized massively.
She'd feminized. Yeah. She felt the need that she had to because of all of the other tiny, thin wee. And she's clearly not working out as much. And it's sad, really, because the physicality was very much
absolutely
what attracted me to her.
And I think there's also, I mean, for her personally, this is a difficult time because her boyfriend, Triple H, is no longer her boyfriend.
Right.
He's now with Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
And you're working in a company where your ex-partner is now going out with a woman who, you know, pretty much, I think actually by the end of 2000 will be the head of all the writing.
Yes.
So that becomes an issue doesn't it? I mean, that must be a worry. There's a great bit in this Access thing where they show you get to call a match with Michael Cole.
Yes.
Now, last year, Michael Cole was actually commentating on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And they take him out for the main event. And he did a thing last year, which he talked
stormed
about
off, didn't he?
On the
stormed
previous,
off, yeah.
on the previous, you know, WrestleMania episodes that we did, about how he ruined the main event, where he mentions that you can watch the QVC. This is when they're doing the Hell in the Cell.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
You watch it on QVC, and they're going to have an interview with the new. In fact, you can actually play it here. I've got it just here.
Okay.
Have a listen.
That's the M&M's Crispy Airship here in the First Union Center. Over 20,000 people, folks. And don't forget, immediately following WrestleMania, as you see the Hell in a Cell, the Ominous Cell making its way down over the ring on the Home Shopping Network. It's the show after the show. Post-game comments. We'll hear from the new WWF champion. You'll have a chance to buy some exclusive merchandise right after WrestleMania on the Home Shopping Network.
Ah.
You will hear from the new WWF champion. So
yes.
He fucked the main event.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I say that. Who would have been listening to his shilling? Some awful thing on a Home Shopping channel. But this year, where is he? He's sitting at Access. And if you're a teenager,
commentating with children,
you can sit next to him and they play the things, and then you spend the whole time just going, shut up, Cole, you fucking dweeb. So Shawn Michaels goes, shut up, Cole.
Who's Michael? You do this all the time.
Stop touching my knee, Michael Cole. I would do anything to hear those tapes
yeah.
that people did.
Yeah.
I would love to hear that of Michael Cole going, what do you think he weighs? And them going, great matches in front of it. Oh, I don't know if anyone did their own wrestling commentary on matches and just on a little tape recorder.
Yeah.
If you did, please, just let us have it.
Oh.
We can digitize it. To hear someone
send
doing their
tapes.
Own thing at 14.
We can guarantee we don't lose it. We won't,
We will lose it.
Actually, we got an email about the whole QVC connection with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Simon emailed in. Thank you, Simon, for your email. If you want to get to the show, as always, it's WrestleMePod. At WrestleMePod.com. Hey, guys. Been meaning to send this for a while, but seeing as you're on WrestleMania 15 at the moment, now is as good a time as any. Actually, the best time was as soon as you mentioned QVC, but I forgot, so whatever. I have a distinct memory of watching QVC with my mum back when that was the thing to do until Stargate SG-1 came on, when finally a crossover between my love and my sister's love, WWF Beanie Babies.
Yes.
Whether these were officially branded by WWF or the Bean People, I can't remember. I imagine they were branded by the WWF and the Bean People. Now, whatever you were expecting from a WWF Beanie Baby, please remove that from your mind and imagine a monochrome beanie with a wrestler's name stitched on the beanie belly. Were the colours at least themed to the wrestler in question? Well, kind of. Kane was red. Stone Cold was obviously black. Mankind was shite brown.
He was, yeah, like his mask.
Thankfully, the internet has the odd chance of trying to flog these trinkets, so I'd see attached some pics I found online. This horrible
that's amazing
collection of rotters.
Look at that shitty one up the top.
Dreadful,
that just says, isn't it? New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
In the green.
Absolutely.
What's funny,
dreadful.
I went through, and this for me is a golden period of bad merchandise. They begin merchandising everything the WWF. Mm. Every single thing you can imagine you can get. And one of the things that I'd picked out for, I was going to do a little like photo gallery, but then I just got my man, bear. And that was one of the pictures that I took out, was those bears. The other one I took out is amazing. You know that there's a great Viz thing they used to do where they take the mick out of those heritage dolls you could buy.
Yes, there's
Mummy, this lemonade tastes funny, where it's a baby drinking bleach. There's Little Ted West, which is a great sort of thing. There was one of those weird heirloom dolls made, and it's a baby Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
So it's a baby wearing the 316 leather waistcoat jerkin.
With
a, do you know what? I have a feeling it's got like a mini beer, like a baby beer
baby
or something.
Beer, yeah.
And it's the worst thing ever.
So it's an actual. So it's actually one of those dolls. It's like a baby.
A Franklin Mint.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
The really detailed.
The connoisseurs.
Kind of,
you know. He is waiting for you when you come home to kick you in the guts.
Smashes through the window.
Stun Mummy out of her lipstick. But I will. I'll post the thing of that. I'll post a picture of it on Twitter. I managed to find it. It is. I think that's probably the worst merchandise ever made. Absolutely.
The beanie.
Pitiful.
I mean, the pictures. I'm. You know, the Val Venus fucking beanie baby. It's just so weird.
It's not. I mean, a Val Venus beanie baby is one thing. That is just a bear that they've written the words Val Venus on.
They've just written Undertaker on a purple one. It's so mental. Sable. Simon does go on to mention the main memory though was of the the Sable figure. As you can see from the picture, they've gone to the effort to replicate the moment she unveiled her tits on screen, covered only by black handprints. What did that even mean in the first place? Does her fella work in oil or something? I don't know. And also, it's a toy bear, so why aren't there paw prints there? Idiots.
So this is a bear that's got the...
Yeah, look. Look how fast.
Oh, that's mad.
It's a white bear. I mean, this is the second edition of the Sable. The first Sable is pink, and there's a white one with the boobs.
He's absolutely right about the handprints.
Yeah.
So is that a baby trying to milk the Sable bear?
Oh, God knows.
Or is it a man with tiny hands?
The salesman, when presented with the Sable, mentioned how we all remember her boo-hooing as she was sent packing, mimicking wiping tears away with the toy and doing comedy crying noises. As far as euphemisms for suing for sexual harassment, for, it's an interesting one, but fair play to QVC. It's about time someone stuck up for the WWF.
Yeah. She did leave, citing a lot of sexual harassment. She did sue them for a huge amount of money, and the case was not thrown out. I believe they settled out of court. Yes.
I hope she didn't get paid in beanie babies. Have them back.
At the time, they were incredibly valuable.
Oh, do you remember when that was a thing? Do you remember when it was like, well, he's going to be.
Why do you think I own half of Windsor, Pete? Because I bought beanies very wisely. I had two
babies,
goldfish and a unicorn.
Three of Rolf Harris's paintings. It's really low rent art that could go up at any moment.
And I sell it to ghouls.
All right, well, that's the end of another Wrestle Me show. Thank you for joining us again. You know, we've got to do it. We've got to end the show at some point, guys. So,
I know.
Sorry.
You complain now, but you've got to learn to wait. At on, right? the quicker we get through these, the sooner it's all over.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll just do SummerSlam. We won't.
We don't like SummerSlam. This was not the conceit.
We can't go back over the ground.
No.
It's the same people. There is no way for this to end. It will be a perfect duel.
Yeah.
It's seen as being probably, you know, the greatest podcast in Britain. I mean, you know, it's got to end.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's like? It's like Larry Sanders, isn't it?
Yeah. Right,
if Larry Sanders was still going, but they were just filming Janine Garofalo, everyone would go, oh, that's bullshit. We've got to stop it while it's great.
Correct.
I don't want to die like Gary Shandling, but Pete, if that's what it takes,
I will
do it.
How did Gary Shandling die?
Well, I don't know. He just died.
He died.
I mean, I just don't want to
like
die.
Him. How did he die?
I don't care how he died. I don't want to die.
Right. Speaking of weird deaths, got a couple coming up next. First appearances for some notable naughties.
Woo!
Ooh, see you soon.
Bye.
Resume
Mark. was a Radio Stakhanov production.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.